Morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning. It's lovely to see you here with us. Friends, we've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We'll praise and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. So today, Trevor's going to be preaching again, we're going to be looking at some people of the New Testament in the next coming weeks. And this week, it's Barnabas as an example for us of encouragement. And let me encourage you to remember our mission focus for the month. So as we finish May, we continue to focus on the Bush Church Aid Society and Anglican Police Chaplaincy. I'm going to open our time together with a word of prayer, so please pray with me. God our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you. And whatever we do, in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. So let's start today by making sure everyone's awake and tell out the greatness of the Lord. So please stand and let's join together to sing. Together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, to encourage one another to hold fast to the hope he has given us and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. So let's do that now by joining together in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Robin, are you going to come and read the passage today?
Okay, our passage today is from Acts 11, 19 to 26. Now those who have been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travel as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word among Jews, only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was upon them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you, and those listening on the website, welcome to you as well too. Would you just turn to the person next to you or nearby, COVID safely, and just say, good morning, welcome to church, the Lord be with you and also with you. It's always good to be reminded that we're not alone and that we are a family. Always a dangerous thing. Get the attention back again. Here we go. Well, good morning. Welcome. Today we're going to, as David mentioned, we're looking at particular people in the New Testament as examples for us of Christian faith. And over the last 2 weeks, Reverend Philip Bassett being here, we've thought about Paul and his ministry with Philemon and Onesimus with Philemon. And also this week we're thinking about Barnabas and his example. And also next week we'll think about Thomas. I suppose there are times when we take for granted the freedom we have to live life God's way, to actually meet together like we're doing here this morning in church, to learn from God and His Word and to share it with others, pray, fellowship and worship. But in the first century, the situation was very different. In less than 15 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension and the empowering of the Holy Spirit of coming upon the early church, the church experienced the first wave of significant opposition, hindrance, and persecution. The deacon Stephen and the apostle James had been martyred, and Peter and many others were imprisoned. It would have been easy for believers at the time to feel despondent, and that is, unless God had intervened, and raised up in the church through his Spirit the willingness of his people to encourage one another, and to do so despite opposition by regularly meeting together and speaking to one another with words from God's word and in acts of kind deeds as they waited for Christ to return and take them home and usher in the new heaven and the new earth. One courageous and kind-hearted Christian at the time that stood out as an example of encouragement was a man named Barnabas. We can learn from Barnabas about encouragement from what's been recorded of him for us in the New Testament. Though not experiencing the same opposition as Christians did in the first century here in Abbotsford, and yet in many countries today Christians are facing persecution like then, we here at Abbotsford face situations in life when we feel despondent. And we do have times when we feel like we're lacking in our faith in God, and we do find it hard at times to have the courage to carry on, unless God raised up in the church through his Spirit the willingness amongst us to be like Barnabas with each other and encourage one another. The word encouragement has with it the words which give it its meaning, in fact. There's courage in the word encouragement and the prefix en. Encouragement means to find in courage what one needs to face a situation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we first hear of Barnabas. He's mentioned as one of the believers, probably one who heard the gospel and became a Christian when he first went to Jerusalem for Pentecost. We're told he was a Levite from the island of Cyprus. And that means being a Levite, he had some ministry experience already. He must have been a Jew who knew his Bible well and been responsible for helping in the synagogue, possibly reading the scriptures like Robin did this morning and occasionally teaching from them in the synod, in the synagogue. His real name was not Barnabas, but his mum and dad gave him Joseph. He got the name Barnabas from the apostles, meaning a son of encouragement. What a wonderful title, what a wonderful name to be actually called, isn't it? I suppose he got that name, that nickname, from the apostles because he was a person who oozed encouragement, who was obviously the encouraging person, and it was contagious that others wanted to be like him. We first read of Barnabas as example of encouragement by valuing the ministry of the church with his wealth. We don't know how rich or poor Barnabas was, but in verse 37 of Acts chapter 4, he's singled out amongst the believers as an example. And we read he sold a piece of land that belonged to him and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas valued the ministry of the church and was an encouragement with his wealth. We next hear of Barnabas as an encourager in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Barnabas was not afraid to stand up for his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. After Saul becomes Paul's dramatic conversion, the church was a little bit hesitant to take Paul in because he was formerly a persecutor of the church and of Christians. But Barnabas believed in Paul and the potential of his ministry, and he took Barnabas to the apostles and encouraged him to them, recommended him to them, vouching for his conversion and authority to minister by saying, "This man surely has seen the Lord on the road, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how he has preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Then in Acts chapter 11, we read, he strengthened the faith of believers by reminding them of God's word. God's word is the courage that comes with encouragement. In verse 24, we read, the church leaders in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch to strengthen the members in the faith. He encouraged them to continue with the Lord despite opposition, and through his encouragement, a great many people were added to the Lord. Through Barnabas' ministry with Paul in Antioch, believers in Antioch learned from their example to be like Jesus, to be just like Jesus in words and in actions and in their overall conduct. So much so that in fact Barnabas and Paul worked at being so much like Christ amongst the people in Antioch that in chapter 11, verse 26, we read the early Christian followers were called Christians or Christ people for the first time in Antioch by those who were not. What a wonderful testimony of a church to call us Christians, to be like Jesus in the community and amongst each other. The way Barnabas encouragement was to model it himself, following Christ and pointing people to him. Barnabas encouraged others also by being trustworthy. When a great famine broke out in Jerusalem, the church chose to send aid through Barnabas and Paul. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas encouraged others by being a person trustworthy with wealth. In chapters 13 through to 15 of Acts, Barnabas encouraged others by getting his hands dirty, by getting involved in ministry, so to speak, and not sitting back as a passenger, but as a participant in sharing in the ministry of the local and wider churches. He accompanied Paul during his first missionary journeys and others, and sharing in the teaching and preaching of the word of the Lord to believers and to those who had ears to hear. Barnabas was also an encourager by being humble and passionate for the truth of God to be known, for praise to not go to him, but to go to God. On one occasion, while at Lystra, through Paul, God healed a crippled man. But the citizens mistook Barnabas and Paul for their gods. They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes. And Barnabas could have relished in the praise and the honour that came from men. But Barnabas was horrified. He tore his clothes and rushed into the crowd, trying to make it clear, not him, but to God be the glory and praise for all he does. Barnabas was an example of encouragement by always pointing the praise to God and not to himself. He was also human. And in case we're thinking of him being truly like unlike us, he was human. And he made mistakes. But the great thing about encouragement that he learned from them. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes how Barnabas had been influenced by Peter, gone off track a little bit as they're working out how to deal with Gentiles who became Christians and to welcome him into the life of the church. Barnabas knew very well that Gentiles could be saved and be welcomed in, but it was difficult during those times. But Barnabas stood up. He learned from his mistakes, and with the encouragement of the teaching of Paul, he learned from that, and he was not afraid to step forward and speak to the church and say how to welcome Gentile Christians amongst them. He showed his encouragement by being open and welcoming of all believers from all backgrounds. In Acts chapter 15, verse 12, Barnabas was among the delegates who attended the Jerusalem Council, and he spoke up on behalf of the Gentile Christians and how to transition them into the early church. But chiefly, Barnabas showed the value of encouragement by being a mentor. In Barnabas and Paul's second missionary journey, Paul's cousin called John Mark wanted to accompany them. But Paul refused. And since John Mark wanted to accompany them, but Paul refused. John Mark had abandoned them on their first missionary journey and when things got tough. And Paul wasn't really willing to go the extra mile with John Mark. But Barnabas took John Mark with him, and he nurtured him, while Paul continued with Silas. Barnabas did such a good job with John Mark that Paul later asked Timothy to take Mark to him, since John Mark had become useful now in ministry to him. In Barnabas, we find an excellent example of Christian mentoring. He encouraged Paul, and he believed in him when no one else trusted him after his conversion. And he did the same for John Mark when others weren't willing to give him a go. For both Paul and Mark, Barnabas did such an excellent job in preparing them for ministry, so much so that by the end of the book of Acts, we actually see Barnabas stepping back and Paul coming forward. So much so that at the end of Acts, we see it's not Barnabas and Paul, but Paul and Barnabas. And I'm sure this wouldn't have worried Barnabas in the slightest. Part of his nature as an encourager was that others came forward and were able to do and minister and be seen to the glory of God for what God can do through them. His significance was always, I gather, found in what God thought of him and not what others thought of him. Barnabas is an encourager to us, a good encourager and a good example to us. He valued the ministry of the church with his wealth and set us an example. He was not afraid to stand up for his fellow believers in Christ, an example for us to follow. He strengthened the faith of believers by reminding them of God's word, an example of encouragement for us to follow. He modeled encouragement in word and deed and was trustworthy, an example of encouragement for us. He got involved and shared in the ministry of the wider church, as well as the local church. He got his hands dirty. He got involved. An example for us to follow of encouragement. He was humble and he learned from his mistakes. An example for us to follow of encouragement. He was not afraid to step forward publicly and lead. An example for us of encouragement to follow. And he was a mentor of other Christians, glad to see them come to the fore and excel in ministry, an example for us to follow of encouragement. Like Barnabas, we too can be a source of encouragement to each other within the body of the church. And it's by God's grace, we too can point each one of us to Jesus and to his word. By God's grace, we too can point and encourage one another through the promises of God and his word and help them grow in ministry, just as others have held our hands through different and difficult stages in our lives. Like Barnabas, we're called to be encouragers, givers of courage. It's a great way to remember it. Givers of courage, particularly of those who are weak in the faith or struggling or not as confident as maybe you or I might be, to find in courage in God what one needs to face a situation, to stand alongside and be with. Barnabas was a man who delighted to see others exhibit God's grace, God's enabling in their lives, as well as his own, exhorting and encouraging them to remain faithful and to press on. In the same way and with the same attitude, let us continue to press on and to look for opportunities in word and deed to encourage one another, to leave it not to the few, but to the all. For we find in courage given and received what is needed to face a situation and not fall into sin, but trusting in God and his word heard to us, we remain patient to receive what God has and will eventually promise and give to us. Who was Barnabas? An example for us of encouragement, of courage. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, who called and empowered your apostle Barnabas with faith and the Holy Spirit to be an encourager of your people, grant us such faith and courage, and to learn from his example, always willing and able to be an encourager of each other. Like Barnabas in word and deed, may our words be ones that build up and not pull down. And as we do, may you always gain the honour and the glory, that we together as one body may persevere to the end, to Christ's return, not giving up, but patiently holding on to the promises of your word, reminding each other of them, and bringing others with us as we wait for Christ's return. For you who promise is faithful, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, there are so many ways we can encourage each other, so let's stand now and sing our next song, which is a form of prayer for us to enjoy. So a call to turn to Christ in every situation of our lives. So let's stand and sing.
of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may become to comfort sick and sorrowing, sick and sorrowing. Exalting self abasing, this is victory. This is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking on.
The book of Acts tells us that God commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The Bible also tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart of full assurance and faith and pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. Let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Much ignored God, pity our self-important attempts to live without reference to you. Bring us to our senses. We are lost, even in our own homes, until you call our name. We are deceived until your truth breaks through all counterfeits. We are uptight with self-justification until your grace relaxes us. We are at war with ourselves until you bring a peace which outstrips all self-help therapies. Without you, we spend ourselves in counterproductive activity, bereft of adequate purpose and devoid of lasting value. With you, we participate in the wondrous patterns and beauties of infinite purposefulness. Come to us then, much ignored God. Come to us and mesh our brash littleness with your graceful immensity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the world which is still groaning under the impact of the pandemic. We especially remember India, where aid only goes to those states where the Prime Minister's party is in power and to higher castes. Those who are not Hindu are victimised, and we pray, Lord, for your mercy and for fairness in this situation. Lord, you know that in India there are insufficient hospitals, ventilators, and oxygen. Please help other nations be generous, and please, Lord, have mercy in this situation. Father, we can't imagine what it's like being in a country where there are not even enough crematoriums and burial grounds. That whole nation is groaning under grief. And we long, Lord, that you would reveal yourself and bring that comfort and hope that only comes from knowing you. Father, currently poorer nations, including Kenya and Namibia, are not receiving the promised doses of the vaccine supply. Please correct this unfairness. And please, Lord, continue to work through this time where your work can be clearly seen. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Pharisees, for Daniel and his family working in Kununurra. Thank you, Lord, for their willingness to go and teach others about Jesus, even in a very remote place. And we pray that each one of their children would grow in their love and knowledge of Jesus. We pray that their church would be a very welcoming one, where newcomers can find a good spiritual home, and where those who are Christians continue to grow in their faith. Thank you for Bush Church Aid and their concern for people in remote parts of our country. Please continue, Lord, to work powerfully through them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this community here at St. Andrew's that you've made us temporarily to be a part of. For the parents among us who can become weary of the same old routines, please encourage them, enable them to persevere faithfully and to serve their children joyfully. For those in need of more medical maintenance, please, Lord, encourage them. Help them seek for opportunities to be a blessing to others and simultaneously to glorify you. For those with an unbelieving spouse, please help them continue to prioritise daily times in your comforting presence and powerful word. For those weary with work, please bless them with the energy and wisdom they need for each day. May they also grow in thankfulness to you, the giver of all good gifts. Please, Father, enable each one of us to seek opportunities to continue to encourage each other to reflect on Jesus, the joy that is set before us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray to the one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, that our lives may bear witness to our faith. Father, we praise and thank you for sending your word, which brings us absolute truth. We thank you for your Spirit, who enables us to be made more and more holy. Through your word and Spirit, we come to know the mystery of your life, everlasting life, now and forever. Please, Father, help each one of us to worship you, the one God, in three persons, by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to, draw your attention to the bulletin. You'll find in the weekly notes there's a number of important announcements, but I'm going to highlight two of them for you this morning. I'd like to let you know that, can you believe that the month of May, the marvellous month of May, has already gone? And we are now enjoying June, almost, round the corner. We're moving into the muted tones of winter this month. So I'd like to invite all the ladies who might be around on Wednesday morning from 11:30 to 1 to come and join me at the Sydney Rowers Club for a coffee and a chat. Anybody's welcome. Feel free to drop in sometime during that time. I'd love to see you. And I'd also like to let you know, you will have noticed in the bulletin over the last number of weeks that the EQUIP conference is on in the month of June on Saturday the 19th. And it's a live streamed conference this year. And we're going to live stream it here at church. And I'd love for you to come and join me to participate in that conference here. So it's really easy to get to. You know where it is. I'd just like to encourage you to bring your lunch with you. There'll be tea and coffee and some yummy little light refreshments. But please come along and join me. You need to register online. But if you could sign up at the back so that I know, or let me know that you're coming, or if you need help signing up online, I'm happy to do that as well. You will notice that their topic, the book that they're looking at this year, is the Book of Ruth. We have recently studied the Book of Ruth here at church, and I don't want you to think, we've done that, we don't need to. It's actually a better reason to come, because we've already spent time looking at it, and you've got your head around it, and so now you can engage more deeply with the content of the book. So please don't let that be an obstacle to your coming. But I'd love for you to join me, and we can talk and share that time together. Thank you.
Just as Trevor comes up, unlike my wife, I'm aware it's still May, including tomorrow. And so the prayer meeting, which is the first Monday of the month, is not tomorrow, but in a week's time, in 8 days' time. So if you'd like to come and join us all for prayer, we do that at 7 o'clock in the foyer, and love to see everyone there and enjoy that time of prayer together. Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, David. I don't want to spend much time, just to say it was a great morning yesterday. The men came. We had about 12 of us here, and it was a lovely time of just fellowship and a meal and a lovely food together. There will be other times for men for us to get together and encourage one another in the days to come, in the months to come. The next mission focus for the month of June, though it's not tomorrow starting, it's another day of May, we're thinking about Kim Patterson and her ministry in Ireland. Now, Kim was a member of amongst us for a good year or so, and she's in Ireland now. You may have already got her prayer letter through Janice sending that to her. We're going to be thinking about her and praying for her. Can I encourage you to maybe write an email to her, send a message to her, a card, or just to contact her during this time. Even think of maybe giving towards her ministry in Ireland. Certainly ask her to tell you about her work. And also, we'll be thinking of Anglican prison chaplaincy. Whilst Rosemary and I are just taking a two-week break in the middle of June, my son Tim again is going to come and speak amongst us, And also your good friends, Stephen and Susie Gibson, who love being here, are going to come and minister amongst you as well. Please don't smile so nicely about that, all right? Okay? Over to you, David, all right?
Thanks, Trevor. So as we prepare to go out for the week ahead, let's stand and encourage each other to live for the kingdom. So please stand and let's sing our final song together. With this prayer for us. Lord Jesus Christ, send us out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hope you all have a wonderful week.